Year after year, one of the most consistent items on my Do Something list is to have fun with fashion. Exploring my personal style has added more joy to my everyday life and helped me feel more like myself on the regular. However, I have found that there are some brands I would love to explore more, but they are out of my typical price range. Or there's the it item that I would love to try out, but without the commitment of keeping it. Enter Armoire. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I just did my quiz and have selected a few dresses for the summer from Boden, one of my favorite brands that I can't typically afford. And I also got a double-breasted black blazer from a new-to-me designer, a classic item that I have been on the hunt for but too scared to commit to until I know it's the one. For you expecting mamas, for those who are working, or those who are style-obsessed, who want to switch out your wardrobe with quality pieces without the designer prices, check out this woman-owned company that has your style and your sustainability in mind. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/progress. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/progress to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You are about to hear a special preview of my private premium podcast, More Personal, where I lean into the personal side of personal development. In this podcast, I do different series, and once a month, I do a series called The Deep Dive, where I do a deep dive exploring something that is personal development adjacent, whether it's a person or a bit of history or something that's more controversial. As you'll hear, this deep dive is about Rachel Hollis, and it was very, very popular, but it's also very representative of the quality, thought, and tone that More Personal is like. It is not a podcast that is just thrown together. And by the way, it's always ad-free. If you would like to get access to More Personal, you need to be a supporter at starting just $5 a month. You can check out the levels of support that we have and their many benefits at aboutprogress.com/support. Welcome to More Personal, where we lean into the personal side of personal development. I'm Monica Packer, and today's feature is The Deep Dive, where we take on a deep but brief breakdown of a hot personal development topic, history, or persona. While this episode isn't meant to be a complete synopsis of what I'll cover today, it will definitely get you thinking, and likely talking about what you're thinking. Let's start by setting the scene of what we're diving deeply into today. It's 2018, and I'm about to enter a movie theater. As a mom with young kids, including a baby born just that year, this was rare enough for me. But even rarer was that I was in a long line of only women, all chattering away excitedly. We were all already inspired. Ready to be even more inspired. What were we there to see? Made for More, a documentary on and produced by Rachel Hollis. Today's deep dive is our first person of this series, or maybe you could say persona, Rachel Hollis. Many of you will know her name immediately, and I'm certain that all who do will also have an immediately strong reaction. Is your reaction respect? Is it pity? Is it anger? Why does this woman have such an effect on us? Who is she? And how did her self-help empire help so many as she rose to the top in her field, far surpassing the limits even her husband thought was possible for her? And yet, damaged so many on her way back down, herself included. Is Rachel solely responsible for this fall? Or does society love to build a woman up just to push her back down? Or perhaps this tale is more of a warning for the enmeshment we take when we blur the boundaries between a person and a brand. As always, I'm not here to give you the answers to those types of questions, although I'll definitely share my personal take at the end. But I am here to lay out who this woman is and how she made such a meteoric rise and, some would say, a catastrophic fall. Let's begin with part one, the origin story of Rachel Hollis. Who is Rachel Hollis and how did she make her way to becoming a multi-million dollar success that inspired millions, most of them women? Rachel was born in 1983 in Weed Patch, California, where the median income is $28,451. In this tiny town, her father was a Pentecostal preacher, and Rachel has long shared how difficult her uber-conservative and poverty-stricken upbringing was, including the trauma of being the one to discover her brother dead by suicide. She was only 14 years old. With just her high school diploma, Rachel fled to LA, landing a job at Miramax. There she met her husband, David Hollis, and they eventually wed and had three children in quick succession and adopted their last child in 2018. Early in their marriage, Rachel started Chic Media, her primary focus being the Chic site, a lifestyle blog, one that focused on cooking, entertaining, with a side of productivity and self-help. In addition to blogging, she attended acting classes in LA, she wrote three novels, which I actually really liked, and two cookbooks. But Rachel had bigger dreams. She felt made for more. When she declared her ambitions to her husband to lean into the self-help arm of her business and help millions of women, he declared her likelihood of being successful was a, quote, 3% chance, unquote. That success came, though, starting with one viral post on Instagram, but maybe not quite the type you'd think with her self-help ambitions. This viral post was a picture of her on the beach while on vacation with her family, wearing a bikini and laughing. What was different about what you may describe as a thirst trap? Well, it was her non-model stomach. In the caption, Rachel shared how she won't hide, quote, a belly that's permanently flabby from carrying three giant babies. They aren't scars, ladies. Flaunt that body with pride. Women shared the post high and low, commenting over how inspiring Rachel was for showing her imperfect body. Maybe you can guess just by how popular that post was, but this was in 2015, the height of Instagram being full of heavily filtered photos and constant perfection. Her little post struck a chord, enough for even the Today Show to cover it. Rachel was finally in the spotlight she had so long worked for and yearned for, but it was just the beginning. In 2018, Rachel published her first self-help book, Girl, Wash Your Face, with a Christian publisher. The book centered around the lies we tell ourselves as women, and how we as women can stop lying to ourselves, declare our dreams, and work towards bettering ourselves, no excuses. The snacky style book contained a healthy side of fat shaming and a sprinkling of Bible verses. It sold 2 million copies. Women loved her straight shooting tone, all delivered as your bestie, who says it like it is, but only because she loves you. Her non-academic language and real-life examples made women relate to her, while her afterlife of success, striving, and star power made women want for more out of their lives, too. Writer Angela Schwartz says, quote, "I was hooked. Her voice was fresh. Her ideas weren't sugar-coated, and the way she presented them was far from the academic fog I'm used to lifting with books like this, which is why I never read them. She was perfectly imperfect," unquote. With reviews much the same, Rachel's follower count exploded. She was officially a self-help influencer, joining the ranks of many names you would know, including Oprah Winfrey, who spoke alongside her at an event, one where Rachel talked about that one time a tampon got stuck inside her for months. Dave quit his job as an executive at Disney. The family moved to Austin, Texas, and they went all in on Rachel's dream, starting with the creation of The Hollis Co., a media company devoted to Rachel's motivational speaking, a podcast called Rise, and the beginnings of a long track of workshops and conferences. This is about when they made that documentary, Made for More. It was a mix of behind the scenes to one of her conferences mingled with her bootstrapping story. That documentary was broadcasted to theaters across the U.S. and it sold out as women watched in awe, and I was absolutely one of them. Rachel often self-described herself during this time as Tony Robbins with fake eyelashes and extensions. It's no doubt that she was and is a dynamic speaker, pulling you in with would-be embarrassing stories and then somehow leaving you motivated to own your life, to pursue your dreams, to reach for more. With her daily lives on Instagram, Dave alongside her, her constant posting on Instagram and her site, a cross-country tour of speaking at $100,000 to $200,000 a pop, hosting her own sold-out gigs, and a steady stream of products ranging from journals to clothing, Rachel continued to insist that she wasn't a guru, just your goofy girlfriend with good advice. And yet, this girlfriend was raking in millions, reports showing around 20 million, for telling you how to live your life, with oft-repeated maxims like, made for more, the future is yours, and start today. Women were lapping it all up. Rachel had become more than a spokeswoman for her teachings. She was the product. Writer Laura Turner was one of the first and the few to see faults in Rachel's foundation. In a 2018 article posted on BuzzFeed, she wrote, quote, "Even as the core of Hollis's business shifts away from being, as she puts it, a lifestyle influencer, this lifestyle is still largely what Hollis is selling," unquote. Her inspiring story of overcoming poverty, trauma, and a lack of education, to pushing past people, even her own spouse, who didn't believe in her and power her way to the top, created an after picture that women desperately wanted, especially because Rachel had an aw-shucks sort of appeal, unique in such a perfection-centric online world. She oozed a realness factor, often appearing makeup-free and owning up to some imperfect stories from her past, like that touch of alcoholism that she went through when trying to adopt her daughter. She mastered the, if I can do it, so can you, tone. More than wanting what she taught, women wanted Rachel's life. A now supportive husband, a happy family, a woman balancing having and doing it all, and unabashedly wealthy to boot. It was a new take on the prosperity gospel, and women were lining up to worship. But there were two at the podium now. Rachel's husband, Dave, had morphed from a self-help skeptic to a full-on preacher. They were a packaged deal, from their daily chats with coffee, broadcasted to thousands each morning, to their second podcast called Rise Together, to equally teaching on the stage of their workshops and conferences, including marriage retreats, where couples paid $1,795 just to learn marriage tips at their feet. Their camaraderie, vulnerability, and marriage-first ethos was packaged in a cutesy rapport of darling back and forths, straight-shooting conversations, and oodles of public posts of pride and support of one another. Their marriage became part of the product women were lining up to buy. This, even in the midst of a worldwide pandemic that was challenging the strongest of couples. But Rachel and Dave, they trumpeted how COVID was bringing them closer together. They challenged their audience to make out more with their spouse, and they celebrated their anniversary with words of adoration online. But this perfect picture, this perfect product, it all came crashing down in June of 2020 in one Slack message to the Hollis Co. team. Rachel and Dave were getting divorced. Part 2. What did divorce have to do with the dismantling of Rachel's podium? Why she ultimately took a hammer to it herself? And how a real tragedy is still leaving her fans, both devoted and disillusioned, reeling. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors. The biggest thing for me when I set out to launch the supporter model was to ensure that it was a win-win. Yes, your monetary support of this work enables it to keep going. That's a win on my end. But for you, I have been striving to create so many wins on your end, from bi-monthly gatherings to special workshops and book clubs to in-person events that are coming up, like two hikes that we have planned for the spring and summer, a garden party dinner that will be free for all supporters, and a tea party as well that's going to be so much fun. People who have been able to join the supporter model do tell me that it is a win-win. It's not like giving to charity. It's access to so much more connection, community, and so much more of me. I get to be more personal in this environment as well. But I loved what a newer supporter said when she first signed up. She said, quote, "Couldn't sign up fast enough. You've supported and transformed my motherhood for 5 years, and I am thrilled to now be able to show my support more consistently. Way to go, Monica. I can't see what is to come," unquote. There is so much more to come, both for the supporters and for the broader community, because that's what the supporters do. They make this work free for all. Check out our three levels of support and their many benefits by going to aboutprogress.com/support. I would love for you to consider signing up today. Again, that's aboutprogress.com/support.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
While even team members of the Hollis Co. shared that they did not see the announcement of the divorce coming, several have owned up to an increasing competition they noticed between the couple. Dave had really hooked into his "I used to be a skeptic" persona and had become a brand in his own right. His Instagram was growing, his fan base was loud with their adoration, and his own book and podcast did quite well. Many friends felt like Dave and Rachel were individually one-upping the other where and however they could. But one also can't forget their history. In Girl, Wash Your Face, Rachel shared about a man who long treated her as simply a booty call. But once she stopped responding, he got scared and got serious. That man was Dave. Once they started their media company, Rachel had named the production arm of it 3% Chance, a callback to Dave's dismissal of her dreams. So there were signs. The trouble was that Rachel and Dave were in the business of disguising them. I remember exactly where I was when I read the Instagram post from Rachel announcing their divorce. It was 2020 and we were living in the basement of my parents' home, but I was on the main level cooking dinner. And while something was boiling, I pulled up Instagram and right at the top was Rachel's post announcing the end of their marriage. The Post strangely pictured them behind the scenes to one of their conferences, Rachel planted firmly on Dave's lap, his arms encircling her, both of them laughing. In the same day, Rachel and Dave posted that they had tried and struggled for years. Rachel requested that she be granted a human moment. Dave slipped in a line about Rachel ultimately being the decision maker in their pending divorce. So how did the internet respond? They lost their freaking minds. The comments poured in, and most of them were incredibly unsupportive and very critical. Many long devoted followers decried the audacity they had to not only give advice, but take people's hard-earned money for years and in the pursuit of modeling a marriage that was a sham all along. On that, writer Micah Stauffer wrote, quote, "The divorce isn't a scandal. The amount of money the Hollises made peddling their seemingly perfect relationship, that's the scandal," unquote. This wave of criticism of their hypocrisy unleashed another realization that if their marriage was a sham, maybe everything else about them was fake, fake, fake too. Scales fell off from the eyes of women who had long adored Rachel. They began to see what Laura Turner had decried for years, Rachel's curated imperfection. They now saw the moments of humanness modeled by Rachel as a false authenticity, more about pretending to be down to earth like the rest of us, when really, Rachel herself seemed to think that she was inhuman all along. Writer Samantha Blake wrote, quote, "When I started hearing different things and finally took a step back, I realized I had never worshipped a person, but instead an idea of a person that didn't really exist," unquote. Not surprisingly, the internet flooded to take sides. And also not surprisingly, it was overwhelmingly in Dave's favor. So much so that he had to make a separate post asking people to stop streaming their increasing anger and hate towards Rachel, the mother of his children. While the divorce broke the dam, there were already signs of cracks long before that. Most recently, just that spring, Rachel had posted a Maya Angelou quote as her own, "Still I rise." After a large public outcry, she publicly apologized for the oversight of her team in making a post on her own feed. Then, several months into the divorce process, Rachel crossed another level of unrelatability and a lack of ownership when she streamed about how her hard work enabled her to have, quote, "a woman who cleans my toilets," unquote, twice a week. When commenters called her as out of touch and unrelatable, she responded in her typical tough love manner with a video post. She said, quote, "No, sis, literally everything I do in my life is to live a life that most people can't relate to. Literally every woman I admire in history was unrelatable," unquote. In the caption, she shared examples of these unrelatable women, including Harriet Tubman and Oprah Winfrey. In the racial reckoning that was 2020, it was impossible to ignore that Rachel's long-heralded advice of pursuing your dreams, improving your life, no excuses accepted. It was all at a level of white and rich privilege that most women will never relate with, and that Rachel herself was unable to see. On this, Laura Turner was a prophet of sorts, writing way back in 2018 that, quote, "Rachel Hollis doesn't address the possibility that for some people, obstacles to happiness are outside their control, and it is proof of her hard-earned privilege that she doesn't have to," unquote. Women were done with what they now could see as Rachel's unrealistic prescriptions. They were done with her model of have it all without revealing that she had a nanny that helped her do it all. They were done with her performative goofiness and motivating maxims. They were done with Oliver. Ongoing reports came in of plagiarism and even appropriations that were in her books and her posts to the level that it became impossible to ignore for even the most devoted of fans. On that Cleaning Lady post, Rachel first apologized for her team's lack of oversight again. She also came back later to apologize again for finally being called out on lacking accountability. She then took a long break from social media. Meanwhile, the Hollis Co. took a nosedive. An upcoming conference was canceled, not just because ticket buyers wanted their money back, but guest speakers with big names had to withdraw, citing their lack of alignment with Rachel and what she stood for. For a woman who has publicly said she could make money even falling off a log, a woman who for so long could do no wrong, wrong was the only thing she seemed to be able to do now. Her fits and starts to resurrect her online presence was met with vitriol and criticism, so much so that she had her comments closed on Instagram. Rachel reined in her products. She stopped her workshops and conferences. She let a huge chunk of her company go, and she stuck to simply podcasting. For about 2.5 years, Rachel put her head down and she did some work on her show. She did some work for her family, and one would hope she did some work on herself. She became quieter online, but still there, still trying to motivate, to teach, to inspire. But all that work, all that fame and success followed by loss and failure, met a new rock bottom early 2023, when the world was shocked to learn that Dave Hollis passed away alone in his home. He was just 47 years old. Much later that year, an autopsy report revealed that he accidentally died with cocaine, ethanol, and fentanyl in his system, a combination fatal with his, quote, underlying natural disease of the heart, unquote. Dave Hollis was a man that so many chose over Rachel in their divorce. They had come to Dave in droves to listen to his pep talks as he put in the work to grieve his marriage openly, to find himself again, to become better today than he was yesterday. He weirdly seemed more relatable, more real than he was before when he was with Rachel. Except he wasn't. Friends now share about a man that had become obsessed with his image, knowing the commenters and even the trolls' usernames by heart. Dave's girlfriend at the time of his death, Heidi Powell, described being with him as comparable to living the Truman Show. Dave was living a big secret with his own addiction to drugs and alcohol. He kept a stint to rehab in early 2022 private. And while he seemed to be doing better and making a big return in his online content, neighbors witnessed him buying alcohol at 7 a.m. In the same morning, he created podcasts with titles like You Are Worthy of Unconditional Love. It's reported that Dave Hollis died with his phone resting on his chest. Rachel's post about Dave's death was simply a plea for people to pray for their 4 children. It's been about a year since then, so where is Rachel Hollis now? She still has a large following. She has over 1.5 million followers on Instagram. The comments are still prohibited, and her posting is mostly vague and sporadic. You can see that her kids are featured far less than they were in her heyday, if at all. She's still selling her Start Today journals, and she's dating Shawn Mendes' manager. Her podcast, now called The Rachel Hollis Show, has over 175 million downloads, and she just recently interviewed Shania Twain, among other big, big names. Now, while the podcast is, by all metrics, a fantastic success, her reviews are still polluted with people who remain angry about who she is, what they perceive she did, and her audacity to not disappear altogether. Rachel seems to have no plans to do so. So why does this all matter? When we look back and we look at the big picture, Rachel Hollis truly did do a lot of good. Women still share about how she inspired them to go back to school, to have hard conversations with their spouses, to brush the dust off of their long-held but pushed-aside dreams. For an important space of time in a perfected online space, Rachel was a breath of fresh air. People were entertained by her. They were motivated by her. They learned a lot from her about productivity, identity, and hard work. Samantha Blake sums this up pretty well. Quote, I didn't want to be her. I wanted to be the idea of her. And since that idea was never really real, why not become my own hero? Unquote. Even with all the good and bad, that is what Rachel inspired in so many. With all her faults and flaws, with all the real change she created and the damage she incurred, often in the same breath, Rachel's moment mattered, and it still does. Let's end with my own personal thoughts. I recently revisited Rachel Hollis's podcast, where she was interviewing author, academic, and writer Arthur C. Brooke, about his findings on happiness in the book that he wrote alongside Oprah Winfrey. And I caught a glimpse of what I used to love when I listened to Rachel's podcast years ago, tuning in while I walked on my ancient treadmill tucked into a dusty corner of my old garage while living in California. I remembered her intellect, her curiosity, her ability to frame things in a way that non-academics get, her talking chomps, and her teaching skills. Truly, she did and still does a good job on her podcast. And while I absolutely joined her fans in riding the Rachel Hollis wave, one of rising adoration followed by dramatically low disdain and then a settling in to a level of curiosity mixed with even pity, I have to say overall, moving through this still short life, she's only 40, and her history has mostly given me greater questions to consider. How do we vet people who are giving us advice, especially when delivered with such certainty? How much do we really know of the people we follow online? What's the line between a brand and a real person? How do we undo the pressures of being authentic in a way where public people can be real, but also have a semblance of privacy? What part do we all play in building people up just to bring them back down? Why do we demonize a woman more easily than we do a man in a similar situation? And in the words of Laura Turner, what is honesty when your life is a brand? Have I returned to my glossy-eyed ways of the past, like the time where I loved every second of my viewing of the Made for More documentary? No. Do I wish Rachel Hollis well? Absolutely. With the caveat that I do believe she still needs to step up in her accountability. While I can give her grace and space to heal from the wild ride and now grief that she has faced the last few years, I also would love to see her own her own hand and what led to her fall from grace. That recent episode with Arthur Brooks she did was very enlightening and more about Rachel. He was able to coax out of her some real realizations that she's had about her public life, that her success was not sustainable, that she was moving at a rate that wasn't healthy, that wealth doesn't equal happiness, that she's so glad she's not on that track now. But she still somehow found a way to blame a pandemic and a breakup of her marriage for the failure of her business and her fall from grace, rather than recognizing the valid criticism that her own performative imperfection, her own performative inhumanness had a lot to do with that failure. Personally, as an online creator, one in the same self-help field as Rachel Hollis, I consider her a model of things I hope to avoid as I do the same work in many ways to empower women. I want to avoid that level of certainty, privilege, prescriptions, and hubris. I want to ensure that all of those things are both not part of my work and my own opinion of my work. Her performative imperfection makes me pause when I reach for ways to be real or authentic online, to question if that's in fact what I'm doing or if it's more of a play. But similarly, I've learned from her to be careful in how much of my real life, my kids, my marriage, I'm willing to share online, and to constantly consider the line on what's helpful and what's harmful, both for the listeners and for the real people on my side of the screen. I've got to say, it's a constant blurry line that I'm navigating, and I'm sure I won't always get it right. I also want to do my best to heed a shared warning I see in both Rachel and Dave Hollis's lives, that fame, both the pursuit and the achievement of it, is a drug, and one that can ultimately kill what had the potential to be good things and good people. I'll end with what Laura Turner wrote back in 2018, long before the rest of the world caught onto what was troublesome about Rachel Hollis and what I hope to avoid myself. Quote, "The trouble with and the appeal of curated imperfection is the assumption that all imperfections lie in the past, that they have supposedly been understood, integrated, and learned from in order to create a present that is blissfully free from earlier mistakes. And at her worst, Hollis refashions her own apparently resolved struggles to astonishingly harsh instruction for other women under the guise of women's empowerment and tough love." Unquote. Rachel Hollis's reality showed the greater truths we can all learn from. We are all human. We all struggle. We all succeed. We all fail. Nobody has arrived, and we're all made for more. That's it for my deep dive on Rachel Hollis. I'd love to hear your own takeaways and personal thoughts on this public persona. As supporters, you get access to our private online community, the Supporters Hub. It's like Facebook without the Facebook. So I want you to chime in there and tell me your own experience with Rachel Hollis, how she helped, how she harmed. I want to hear it all. For those who are more curious, in the show notes of this episode, you'll see all the links of the articles I referenced while creating this deep dive. I'm already at work on our next deep dive, and I'm taking on a bit of a vague history: self-help. I'm a little curious about my own field. Like, when did this whole self-help movement start? Who were the main players? And what is its place in today's culture? Stay tuned, and thank you so much for being a supporter and making this work possible. I'll see you soon.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.